Our Old Testament reading today comes from Genesis 25, verse 21. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife became pregnant. God does answer prayers, and God does hear us when we come to him. I also want to read John 17, 20 to 26. Jesus praying for all believers. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. And Jesus' prayer for us, even today. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, beginning at verse 14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. A certain person was trying to find the right way and the right position to pray, and he couldn't find the right posture for prayer. He tried praying on his knees, but that wasn't really comfortable for very long, and besides, it wrinkled his pants. Well, then he tried praying standing up, but he couldn't pray very long that way either because his legs got tired. So he tried praying while he was seated, but well, that didn't seem very reverent. And then one day he was walking through a field and he fell headfirst in an open well, and oh, he figured out how to pray then. And did he ever pray? Now, isn't that like us oftentimes? We get so obsessed with the hows and the whys that we never master the act. That is, until we find ourselves in a situation that demands we figure it out right now. And therefore, prayer begins to flow mightily. I'm glad there's so many here today because my call is for something different today. I feel deep in my heart that the Lord is calling us to a prayer life that is consistent and fervent and sincere and spirit-empowered and life-changing. In my spirit, I feel a strong sense of a need for us as a body of believers to step forward and to step up our lives in the Spirit through a prayer force. Just as many times through the Old Testament, when leaders found that their armies and their people were in the crux of at a crux in their lives, both individually and corporately, there was a call out from the leader for prayer, for consecration and worship unto the Lord. There was a need for the body to prepare for what was about to happen and call out to make ready and gain perspective for the future so that God's will would be accomplished without the flesh getting in the way. I sense that same call to us today. I feel like we're at the brink of a new beginning. and something special in which the Lord is preparing to do in us and with us and through us. I feel as though we are gaining perspective and vision. Yes, we may have a ways to go. But if we all waited until we were ready, we'd never get to do anything. Our time is awaiting us. Our moment, if you will, is ahead, but it's not a moment or a measure of time, but it's a level of operation. And I believe that we are ready to take a new step up. But before this, I sense that the Lord is calling us to prayer. That we would bathe what is about to be in prayer and supplication to the Lord. I, as your pastor today, am calling this body, not just you present here, but all those that ought to be here but aren't for whatever reason. I, as your pastor, am calling this body to serve as a prayer task force, if you will. That we would turn up the heat a notch in prayer. That we would together take a more serious approach to prayer. I'm calling for us to seek the Lord in prayer more fervently in our personal lives and also as a body of Christ. I press you, I beg you to be here as a body on Tuesdays to pray and to seek God together for what He has in store for us. Do you want more? Do you hunger for more? Do you want the Lord, what the Lord has in store for you? And for us, and for this community? Well, are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to pray the price? These things only come about with prayer. So, may we do just that? Now, I say this because change is initiated by prayer. All of us have seen a pond, right? Some are prettier than others, that's true, but nonetheless, we've all seen a pond of some kind. And the one thing about ponds is that they are just stale puddles of water. They have little to no fresh water flowing into them and the same exiting them. Do you like to swim in a pond? Yeah, I don't. It's slimy, and the bottom is gooey. You can't see in the water because it's so dirty. But now, think of a nice freshwater stream, though. Now, if you were on a long walk or a journey and you were thirsty, you'd not think twice about bending over to get a drink of water for yourself out of this stream because the water is fresh and cool and crystal clear. I liken this to your own life. Are you a pond or a freshwater stream? The difference in the two is this: change. When the currents flow and there's an intake and an outflow, there's a freshness and crisp sense about it. The stale and old do not appeal. An advertiser phrased it simply, but well, I think, change is good. And I believe that's true. Folks, change is so important in a world which is changing every day. Yes, there's got to be the mainstays and the hallmarks and the rocks to hold on to, but they are never to be what we hold on to as to what we are, but they are to be used as a stepping stone onto what is next and what is intended for us. I read 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Now my eyes will be opened and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. This is a direct example of how prayer will change things. It will change your situation. It will change your circumstance. It will change our future. Well, you say, how is that going to happen? Well, hear this. First, it says that they turn from their wicked ways. Now, that's change. Oh, but we're all Christians. We're all good people. We don't have any wicked ways. Secondly, it says that God says that He will forgive their sins. The song says, what a wonderful change in my life that has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. What more change could you ask for? Well, maybe Jesus is in your heart, has been in your heart for a long time, but maybe it needs to change its tempo and step up the pace of your heart beating for Jesus. And then a healing in their land is a change. God, let the same be for us in this land, on this corner, in this community, in the communities that we live in. Now my eyes will be opened, God says, and my ears attentive. Talk about change. He goes on to say, I have chosen and consecrated this temple. My name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. Folks, I claim that one for us, for this place today. You see, nowhere in the Bible is it stated that this shall be a house of money, or a house of preachers, or a house of music, or a house of beautiful windows. It says in Isaiah, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. The burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all people. Lord, abide with us here. Consecrate us. May your heart and your eyes always be here. But there's always a but. It's written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. Maybe we have traded over the years the purpose for the pizzazz, the meaningful for the minimal, the powerful for the poof. We've got to get back to basics. And that's prayer. All these verses in Chronicles very simply teach us about change. Change that comes about as a result of prayer from a people who are turned towards God. Now these in Chronicles are national judgments that are mentioned, but it is a national repentance and prayer which brings national mercy and grace. And so if there is a church repentance and prayer, then there will be a church-wide reception of mercy and grace. The change that we need is initiated by prayer. For what God can do in prayer is accomplished with much, much more permanence and power than what I could see done with hours of preaching and prodding. And then there's closeness determined by prayer. Jeremiah reminds us, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Now, each of us can understand this one. The more we pray, the closer we feel to God. You know that. We sense a connection, a point of contact, like something is flowing between us. On the other hand, when we are not praying, we sense, no, better yet, we know that we are not where we need to be. We feel distant and unfamiliar with the Savior of our souls, and we know we are not where we should be, nearer to Him. The thought in Jeremiah is this: when deliverance is coming, it must be met with prayer. We know, though, that we can depend on God to be faithful. We need the prayer for us to be faithful. Seek and ye shall find. God can and will be found when you seek Him with all of your heart. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find Him if you look for Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Come near to God, and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, for your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. The promise is true. If you want to be nearer to God, then pray and draw near to Him. He's there. And prayer is the only way. I've talked about it before. How much time did you spend trying to be near that person, that first love of yours? I used to walk miles. It wasn't uphill both ways. Because it didn't seem like it, because that's what I wanted to do, is be next to that person. And so we need to spend time being that close and with that much intensity, being with God. And the way we do it is in prayer. And challenges are conquered in prayer. Do we have any challenges that we need to conquer here? We can look to the life of Jesus, who, when He faced the challenge of the cross, went to the Lord in prayer. Because the challenge of the cross had to be met head on, because it was God's will that must be done. And time again, we can read of Jesus praying to God the Father, "Oh, nevertheless, Father, not my will, but your will be done." About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and at once the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The challenge of the Apostle Paul being in prison and enduring is met with prayer. It's met with prayer to see him through as he turns to God. He comes and he meets them in their need. We can see where challenges were persistent, but God was faithful. Each challenge was met with a great faith, which was planted firmly in a prayer life and intimacy with God. Whether there was prayer offered in the moment or an investment made prior to the fact, the results were that God was glorified in all things. Finally, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will freely pardon. This simple yet profound piece of Scripture cries out, pray to Him. Be reconciled to Him. And once reconciled, pray to Him for everything else that you may need. Right now, His patience is waiting. He's waiting for you. His word is calling to you. The Spirit is striving with us and wooing us. Call upon the Lord. Do you hear what I hear? A call for prayer. Charles Spurgeon said this about prayer in the church. The condition of the church may be very accurately gauged by its prayer meeting. So is the prayer meeting a grace-o-meter, and from it we may judge of the amount of divine working among a people. If God be near a church, it must pray. And if He be not there, one of the first tokens of His absence will be a slothfulness in prayer. What does our gauge say? If you were on the outside looking in that glass door back there, what would you say? Are you adding to that answer, whichever way it is? Are you a part of prayer? Or maybe privately, but now we must be as a body public. publicly about prayer. We must join together as one in more strength and in more numbers. Ecclesiastes says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. There's something about being together as the body of Christ, because there is strength in numbers. There is a power which multiplies exponentially as we gather together as the body of Christ, and the ramifications of such are not known here on earth, but are felt in heaven. Again, I pray that we gather together in prayer, not only on Sunday. We have another opportunity on Tuesday nights. Not only then, but let us be in prayer throughout the week in an assault of prayer against the enemy. Be together in prayer for each other, for this congregation, for this community, for J.W. Coon's school. Let us commit to answering the call to prayer. Amen.